Aloha.
Hello and welcome. We are back from theballerlifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. This is episode number 474. We appreciate you joining us. Thank you for being a listener and someone that partakes in what we make here. As always, I give you the ways that you can get in contact with us if you care to. The telephone number is 949-464-TBLS-8257. That's where you can just call and leave a message. Get lots of messages every week. We got just a great stable of phone callers, and you're welcome to become one of them. 949-464-TBLS-8257. Also, you can send us an email, mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. Love to hear from you guys via the email address. I recorded and published today a new episode of Bonus Bri, which is some of the content that is only available to the people that subscribe to the bonus content. Click the link in the show notes. Sign up there. It is $5 a month. It is $50 a year. Soon to be 55. Soon to have tiered pricing where you get, maybe we'll come to your house. If you give us enough money, we'll come to your house and do the show for you and your wife. Or Ed and I'll just do the show for your wife. You know, it's up to you. It's whatever you want to do. It depends on the tiers. We got to figure out the tiers. Click the link in the show notes, subscribe there, become a listener. Check out my new Bonus Bri where I talk about how LeBron James has ruined the LA Lakers franchise for generations to come. I talk about all the things that why we should disband, why we should go to the monarchy, the British ruling, the British, monarchy. I don't know. I thought there was another name for it. With long, sharp sticks. And chase them out of their palaces and steal all their, plunder all their wealth. And the Sky Rizzy commercial. Do you guys love the Sky Rizzy commercial? Because I do. And I talk about that. So it's only available to bonus content subscribers. Plus all the extra stuff we're going to talk about this week that only the bonus subscribers are going to hear. Like the Missouri high school teacher that filmed her geometry. Wait, Missouri high school student that filmed her geometry teacher saying the N-word twice. I don't know how that word comes up in geometry. I never made it past algebra. And I don't think there was N-words. I mean, I never got to geometry, but I've never heard that term associated with it. So I don't know. We're going to talk about that later. And you're only going to hear it if you subscribe to the extra stuff we do every week. I'm joined now, as always, by the great Ed Daly. Ed, how are you, my friend?
Doing well. I did take geometry, and I remember. Like,
you got an 800 on on the math portion.
Rhombus and pi. There was like some of that in there, yeah. But I don't remember the hard R making an appearance.
No. Even the soft.
Even the soft R.
Right.
Even if it was like, you know, just quoting Tupac or something. No, it never came up.
If they threw on Sucka N-word by Tribe Called Quest, maybe, you know, if you had a cool teacher, but
possibly, but unlikely. Geometry teachers tend to not be cool.
No, they're not. Definitely not.
I have a very like lighthearted TV recommendation. Oh. Mm-hmm. Jury Duty on Prime.
I haven't seen it, but I know of it.
It's like funny, like it's a palate cleanser because like everything's so fucking, it's so serious. Everything's like this like serious ongoing saga of every show. They take a guy. It's supposed to be like a reality show for jury duty. But only one guy doesn't like everyone's an actor except for one guy who thinks he's on regular jury duty.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a bunch of comics. Him. Yeah.
Yeah, they're just like funny actors, and James Marsden plays himself, being like this guy who thinks he's too famous to be on a jury, and he's, but like it's pretty funny. It's just like a simple half hour 8 episodes total. The 8th episode, they show you behind the scenes, like, yeah, how it's all done.
Oh, I kind of want to watch that.
But it's fun. It's fun. It's a fun, like, they just do, like, fucked up things around him. And yeah, it involves soaking comes up on the show.
Oh, it does?
Yes.
We're just discussing soaking.
I know. Yeah. It's I wouldn't have known about it. Yes. If we hadn't discussed it, but yeah, it's funny.
Soaking, it's one of those things that it's like, we just heard about it, and now we hear about it all the time. It's like, there was no soaking, and then you heard about soaking, and now it's all you hear about. At least once a week, somebody's talking soaking.
The woman in the soaking situation was telling the guy to jump harder on the bed, and the guy in the situation was like, hey, can you not go so hard?
Yeah, I come.
It's funny. It's a funny show.
Exactly. Okay, I'll check it out. I just saw before we went on, and this caught my eye while I was waiting to connect with you.
Yeah.
Happy congratulations are in order for newly jacked Jeff Bezos and his soon to be bride, former Channel 13.
Yeah. Newscaster?
Yeah. Former Channel 13 LA local newscaster and also Fox Sports West highlight person for a while, Lauren Sanchez, who I'll admit I used to find kind of hot in like a harsh kind of way, but I'm just looking at her now. And yeah, he got everything bolted on that he needed. You know, she's got a big old set going, but she's her face, you know, she's getting a little older. The face is troubling. She looks kind of like one of those chimps from the Tim Burton Planet of the Apes with Marky Mark.
Wait, what's her name? I gotta look her up.
Lauren Sanchez. And I was just thinking about this. And look, good for them. She was, I mean, you would say she's doing it for the money, and this guy's got all the money, obviously. But oh, she was,
lips.
Yeah, it's a lot. She was previously married to Patrick Weitzel, who was like the biggest agent in Hollywood. So it's like she had
money.
Yeah, I'm sure she got plenty from that. But here's what I was thinking. And look, I know this Jeff Bezos, you know, he's very wealthy, but I do recall that Lauren Sanchez was previously in a relationship with one-time Huntington Beach High School rebound record holder before my buddy Jordan snatched that record from him, Tony Gonzalez.
Tony G. I don't think Bezos is filling the tunnel.
No. I mean, he's 6 feet.
She was also with Derek Fisher?
I think that might have been brief. Yeah, she might have been.
It just has to be one moment. Yeah. He was right after Tony G.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the Takalash, you know? This Tony Gonzalez comes through there, and he's a big dude, you know? I'm just saying, that's a lot to follow up upon.
Who's this Henry Simmons?
He was on NYPD Blue.
Okay, good looking dude.
Yeah, yes. So congratulations. Yeah.
She has a type.
Yeah.
Good looking dudes. Yes. Good looking dudes until she went I'm going for rich guys.
Yeah, exactly. It's true.
Derek Fisher's a good looking man.
Yeah. Like, oh, he's handsome. Yeah.
Right? And then all of a sudden she's like, you know what, I'm going to go a different direction with Patrick Weitzel and
Bezos.
These guys aren't lookers.
And even if you scroll down, I don't know if I sent you the story, but I'm looking at this one on people.com and it shows like a recent picture, like they got her ring and her set and everything. And then there's kind of a recent picture of them together because she's got the engagement ring on and that's where she's looking like one of the Planet of the Apes people. And then there's a picture, and this is just a couple years ago. She looks pretty normal. You know, it's like these, and she's in her 50s and she was very pretty. But it's like there's a lot of pressure to look a certain way, and people just go too far. They just go too far.
Wants, but it's weird.
Yeah.
I guess like if you have a full set of lips, it's one thing, but like I feel like everybody fucks up the lips.
Yeah. And she already had like bigger lips than normal, you know? And so she just went way over, and it looks like, and maybe this is just a bad picture. I'm zooming in.
I'm looking at several pictures with the Planet of the Apes mouth.
Yeah, she went. It looks like she went to the equine dentist and said, "Hey, let's go full size on the veneers. Let's go big as possible." She's got the gray gums. Like, it's, they got all the money. Like, you don't have to go so big on the teeth.
We've talked about people, like how rich they are. Like, she literally has all the money now.
Yeah, she's got all the money. She can. Well, we talk often about how Tiger Woods was nearly a billionaire and he still had that one dead tooth in the front. And why didn't he?
For a long time.
He was way too rich to have that dead tooth. And eventually he got it fixed. Similarly, there are older, like Jennifer Lopez comes to mind. Like, she doesn't, she looks beautiful. Obviously, she's probably enhanced in many ways, but she can afford to go to the best doctors. And so this Lauren Sanchez also can afford to go to the best doctors. And she got the biggest teeth.
Jen Aniston.
Exactly. Another one. Jen Aniston. Looks great.
Looks great.
Yep.
Has had some work done.
Of course.
Looks great.
Looks fantastic. Well, anyway.
And this woman with all the money. Looks like fucking Cornelius or Dr. Zayas.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. She looks very much like the Michael Jackson version of the Planet of the Apes. It's a tough look, but I'm very happy for them. He's, you know, remember we talked about how he had to get that bridge torn down for his yacht, and his yacht, he got,
is that in Holland?
Yeah, it was in Holland. You know how they put like a girl on the front of the boat or whatever? He had a wooden carving made of his lady. I mean, I'm sure that'll look great, you know, 5 years from now when they move on from each other. But congratulations to them. Okay, you ready to talk some sports?
Well, let's talk about who we love.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Let's talk about who died.
Just tell us who was dead now.
Oh, I played them both. I didn't even mean to do that.
This is like a mashup.
I mashed them up. I didn't know you could do this on my board. Oh, my God. I've created genius. This is beautiful. I'm reminded. I'm going to have to go find this.
Because we're about to hear from Ed on what celebrities are dead.
So tell me you died. Okay, I got to scroll back here.
I like in the beginning of the song.
Yeah.
When he says, very sad.
Very sad. I like that too. It's so good. I forgot that over the weekend, my dear friend Janie, who we used to go to the same gym, she's the one, remember, that she got married on your birthday, 3/11. Our invitations must have gotten lost in the mail because
I was waiting on my birthday. I still was looking into last second flights.
Yes,
but I never got that call.
She sent me a TikTok that somebody sent her that was set to the very same George Benson's "Give Me the Night." She said a friend sent this to me, and all I can do is sing, "Tell me who's dead now." It's a sad segment. In parentheses, very sad. Oh, I appreciate that. Ed, tell us who is dead now.
First up, superstar Billy Graham. He was a wrestling legend, 79 years old. So like a wrestling legend before the heyday of the 80s.
He really was. I recall him. He was a little before my time, but he was kind of around the WWF.
Like, he was a known thing, but Hulk Hogan moved in on the scene, like guys like him were marginalized.
He did. He was very tan, and then he had like the dyed black scruff with the bleached goatee.
Yeah, Hogan copied that went bad.
He kind of did. And he would wear a chainmail thing on his head. And then recently, I was watching, because I'm a sucker for any kind of wrestling documentaries, and now Amazon Prime knows me. So they only feed me bodybuilding and pro wrestling documentaries, and I started watching this one. It was about how it's called 350 Days on the Road. It was about all the traveling they had to do and how horrible it was. And they interviewed Billy Graham, and the guy's like in his 70s, and he's still doing the thing. He's still got to go in.
He's
dying and bleaching. Double. That's got to be so much work. Just like it's shaving is hard enough. Yes. Unbelievable. I mean, now he doesn't have to worry about that anymore because he's, of course, passed away.
Like my dad never had a beard growing up. Yep. And now he just has a beard because he's like,
fuck shaving.
Fuck shaving. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I can't even really grow a beard. And I realized the other day I looked in the mirror and I'm like, oh, fuck, I haven't shaved in a while. And I got like the Wolverine quadrants where the sides of my head are gray.
Patches.
Yeah. And then all the way down my sideburn, like to the corner of my chin, also gray. And then it goes brown again. So it's like I'm like really working a Wolverine.
Like a Wolfman Jack.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Wolfman Jack. He was a DJ. Why did we know who he was?
Yeah, I think he was like a Philly DJ. Like it wasn't like he was Howard Stern.
Yes. He just played
really
songs.
A personality. He just had that really deep voice.
Great voice. Like a lot of your game show hosts, and of course Dick Clark, they all started out in radio. They were DJs, but then they became like TV guys. Wolfman Jack, so it's like Wink Martindale. He was a DJ. But you didn't know that. Or Bob Eubanks, he was a DJ. You didn't know that. You knew him as a game show host. Wolfman Jack was a famous DJ. He never became a game show host. He was just known for being a DJ. Why?
Was he a square on Hollywood Square? It's like, why would I know him?
I know. Why did we know him? I don't know. He was just around. He was on Scooby-Doo. Wolfman Jack.
That's right.
American DJ. Holy shit.
You live much longer than expected.
I was going to say, tell us, it's a sad segment. Tell us who is dead now. He didn't see 9/11, Ed. He's Wolfman Jack kicked off in 1995.
Are you implying? Oh, I was going to say, are you implying he had something to do with
it? He might have done it. He and Bush might have been working together. Robert Weston Smith, January 21st, 1938 to July 1st, 1995, known as Wolfman Jack. Now, again, there's not even a Jack. He's not even a Jack. He made up the whole thing.
Wait, it was his first name is Robert?
Yeah. Bob, which should be Wolfman Bob.
Wolfman Bob would have been just fine.
Yes. Famous for the gravelly voice, which he credited for his success, saying it's kept.
I don't hate Wolfman, though.
No, it's good. And he kind of did, like, one of these promo pictures, he's got fangs.
Yeah, I've seen that before. Yeah.
Smith was born in Brooklyn, New York, the younger of two children, blah, blah, blah. Yep. He goes, he was a legacy. Oh, no, his old man bought him a radio.
Nepo baby?
Yeah, no, he made his own way.
Wolfman Jack. Yeah. It was like super deep.
After graduating from NAB in 1960, Smith began working as Daddy Jules. So it's kind of like wrestling, where you got to come up with a gimmick and see what catches on. I don't know. I don't know why.
Which brings us back to wrestling.
Yeah, yes. Oh, yeah.
Billy Graham, RP79.
Superstar Billy Graham.
Speaking of wrestling... Yeah. I don't know if you ever listened to Behind the Bastards. That's like The Dollop.
Oh, no.
It's a pretty solid, pretty solid podcast. And they're in the middle of a multi-part Vince McMahon, history's greatest monster.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so they're two in, and they talk the first. So there's going to be at least three parts. They've done two of them. The first part was like kind of the history of professional wrestling. And they talk about Billy Graham and some of the guys of his era.
Harley then, Race, handsome yeah, Harley then, Race,
yeah, Gorilla Monsoon, all those guys.
Oh yeah,
and then it gets into Vince McMahon, like his childhood, and you know, he just becomes a bigger monster, over time.
Now he's gone full movie villain,
right down to the weird look.
Yes, awful.
R.P. Smith's bassist, Andy Rourke, 59 years old.
Pancreatic.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I read pancreatic.
Oof. R.I.P.
Way too young.
Yes.
Jim Brown died, 87 years old. Yeah. And I have read a bunch of obits or at least headlines.
Yes.
And first paragraphs, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And his first paragraph should have been the same as Ike Turner.
Yeah.
Like,
sure. Yeah.
For sure, he had a gift to give the world.
Yeah. Yes.
But Ike Turner, every obit in his opening paragraph, it talked about how he kicked the shit out of Tina.
Yes. Yeah.
And Jim Brown did lots of domestic violence, tons of it.
Tons. And it is, and it, look, all I see about Jim Brown is that he was complicated. He was a complicated figure, which is
but even that, fucked.
Yes.
Which even that appears in the ninth paragraph that he was complicated.
Yeah. And it's like Ike Turner basically invented rock and roll. Like he was one of the first people that took rhythm and blues and turned it into rock and roll. And you would never know that because he terrorized and assaulted women, specifically Tina Turner. Similarly, Jim Brown was a fucking really good athlete. He was fucking amazing. And he starred in movies and shit. And he also threw women off balconies. Like, why isn't that there?
There was one time where if he took some sort of sensitivity training,
yeah,
he could avoid jail time. He's like, no, I'll take 10 days in jail for it instead. Yeah.
I think that was the one in L.A. where his wife cowered in a vehicle while he beat it with a shovel. He broke all windows.
Not a golf club.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a fucking monster.
Complicated guy. He was complicated.
One of the best running backs.
Yes.
He did play a big part in civil rights movement. He had Ali's back. Like, he did good
women.
Things.
Yeah.
But he was a fucking monster to women, and that should be in the first paragraph of every obit.
I do. Wow. What also should be in there is from Andre Agassi's book, where Andre Agassi's dad hustled Jim Brown at tennis when Andre Agassi was like 8 and Jim Brown was like 39. And he's like, hey, do you want to play my son? And he's like, are you kidding? And then Andre Agassi just smoked him set after set at some club in Las Vegas.
And then this late breaking one, the word just came down today. Ray Stevenson, only 58. He was, I knew him best from Rome.
The great HBO show.
Series. And he was the best part of that show.
Yeah, because he would just kill everybody.
Ogre dude.
Yes, he would fuck people up in that show. I didn't realize that the other guy on that show was Tommy from Trainspotting until like 2 weeks ago.
Oh yeah, I think I didn't know it at the time of watching Rome, but then I saw Trainspotting.
Yeah. Then after that, they made him the Punisher. I mean, the guy was a good actor and a young man, although he definitely had aged quite a bit between Rome and his dying at 58. Yeah, but that's too young.
Handsome big dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he was a good looking dude. He was a monster, though. Like, big, big dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Okay. Let's talk some sports.
Brian, they call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hands that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my cool rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. My own Troy on DVD.
Ed, what is going on in the world of sports?
DeMar DeRozan said the NBA has a lot of sorry motherfuckers on a podcast. Yes. He and Paul George estimate there's a good 75 to 100 that stink.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you see that every night. There's too many teams. There's too many games. And look, I don't want to be this guy. Like, get your bag. But these guys make a lot of money and they don't try until there's 3 minutes left in the game. That's all there is to it. I can't watch it.
I think a guy like DeRozan has a ton of talent.
Yeah.
But works his ass off.
Yep.
And I think there are so many guys that like you said, like it's, you know, it's about getting that bag. And some of these guys are like, you know what? I'll just kind of give it my best for a quarter.
And the Lakers, you know, the Lakers were very interested in DeMar DeRozan. And then GM LeBron James said, oh, no. You guys got to go get me Russell Westbrook. I can win with him. And DeMar DeRozan, he's an L.A. guy. He's probably very bitter that he's not here in L.A. where he belongs.
The one thing I'll say about Westbrook, he always tried.
Yeah, no.
He just, ran out of gas in his career. Oh, but he was one of the few guys that, like, there was never a minute he took off.
Oh, still, to this day, he wants to kill you. He wants to bite your fucking dick off on every play, which I respect, but it's just, you know. Yeah. You're not that good forever. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Las Vegas Aces coach Becky Hammon and friend of the show Jay Stu have something in common.
That's right.
She was just suspended 2 games over alleged comments about a player's pregnancy.
Yes.
Some people think it should only happen during the offseason.
I will say, to defend Becky Hammon, the players in the WNBA, they're the ones that potentially have the baby. Jay Stu's pissed that Brusdar Gratterall can't make a midday tilt in Milwaukee because his wife's giving birth, but he'll be there the next day. And Jason's like, that's out of line, it's unprofessional, selfish.
One 162nd of the season.
Rush Stubaugh over there is enraged. I mean, I didn't know there were that many WNBA players that had the potential to be pregnant, but congratulations. Also, it's like being a WNBA player, it's like a regular job. You know,
they have to work in the off season. Yes. They have to find another basketball job.
Exactly. It doesn't pay like the, you know, like the big leagues. So I'm team Becky Hammon here. Good for her.
Yeah. I don't know exactly what she said.
Me either. No one's really said.
I would think that a women's league, they would kind of understand that pregnancy is part of the game.
You think. Well, and it's like, then, like, are you as good anymore? Who's the
big Cheryl Swoops?
No, the big skinny volleyball Lisa player. Lesley. No, the she went to Stanford. She played with Misty May from Long Beach State. Carrie Walsh.
Carrie Walsh.
She had babies and then came back. So I guess you can get back to work because your hormones change, your body changes. Like, you can be really different after having a baby, and maybe you're not as good of an athlete anymore, but. You know what? There's got to be enough incentive for you not to have babies, you know? And if there isn't, have the fucking babies. I've completely changed my mind since the beginning of the story. Becky, calm the fuck down, bitch.
They just don't make enough money put off having babies until your playing career is over.
Yes.
Like, they don't make enough money for that.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Diamondbacks pitcher Zach Gallen accidentally killed a bird with a warm-up throw against the A's.
Do we know what kind of, was it a dove? Because Randy Johnson, the big unit, why did they call him that? I'll never understand. He got a dove with a pitch that one time, and it exploded.
I can't tell. I've seen the video.
Yeah.
And he hit something, but...
Yeah.
Well, I ran over a dove one time. It was in the street, and like a Costanza, we had a deal, and he just didn't get out of the way.
Yeah. Yeah. You figure they'd know better.
It is important to know that birds are sky garbage, so it's okay.
They're awful. I think we discussed on the show how I rented that Jeep that one time, and I drove across the desert. And when I went to return the Jeep, they were going to charge me $75 unless I went and washed it. And I'm like, what the fuck? They're like, I've never washed a rental car. And they're like,
never.
I know. They're like, you're supposed to return it in the same condition you took it away in. And I'm like, this is bullshit. But I didn't want to spend $75. So then I had to go wash it. And I happened to know that driving across the Mojave Desert, I had murked a bird. A whole flock flew in front of me. And its carcass.
You pulled a Sully?
Yeah. Yes, I sullied it. And its carcass was on the front of the vehicle, and I wasn't about to touch it because I fear dead things. So I hit it with that power washer, and eventually it just went thunk and fell to the ground in the car wash. There is an update to the story, Ed. Just before we went to air here on Monday night, this,
kill another one?
This story broke. Will Brennan killed a bird with a base hit during a Guardians White Sox game.
Wow.
It's just like a fucking bird holocaust in the major leagues this week.
Well, remember we did the story a few years ago when they built the new Minnesota stadium and the glass like wall or dome and the birds were just they were just flying in.
Fly right into that sucker, you know? They don't know. They don't. They just see some other birds there. They don't know.
You ever be in like middle school or high school and a bird would just fly right into the window?
Oh, yeah.
It would just fuck up the class. Oh,
yeah.
It was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that?
I went to, in fourth grade, my elementary school was pretty near the beach. And there were so many seagulls because, you know, there's a lot of chips and sandwiches around for those disgusting animals to come get. And some people would get shit on left and right. It was like the Luftwaffe at our playground. You know, it was just bird shitting all over everybody.
Yeah, they're handing out keep calm, carry on.
Yeah, they are. We had to go
about your way.
We had to take refuge in the tunnels down there in the tube.
Yeah. the Dodgers, your Dodgers, disinvited. I'll start by saying LGBT group from the Pride Night after opposition from conservative Catholic groups. Yep. Now, before we discuss this story,
yes,
the article says LGBTQIA+.
Yes, no.
So
this is a test.
Okay, Q is questioning.
Queer. No, queer. Oh, questioning. Oh. I think you might be right
because
used to be queer
because the G is gay, isn't? Isn't gay, queer, and queer the same thing?
No, Ed, stop. You got to stop right now.
I'm trying to be an ally. I honestly don't know either.
Yeah.
Have sex with whoever you want to have sex with, unless it's a child.
Or me.
But but I don't. What's I?
Intersex. That's when you got both. That's Jamie Lee Curtis. It's when you got both.
Oh. Yeah. What's his name? Andy.
Kaufman.
No, who's the name?
Andy Serkis.
Certainly not him. Oh. I don't know what he is.
I don't know, yeah.
No, the Spanish dude who, oh my God.
Yes.
He was in The Untouchables.
Andy Garcia?
Andy Garcia.
Oh, what?
I'm pretty sure he was the rumor on him.
I was once at a party with Andy Garcia. He wore a scarf,
under the hood.
We didn't use the restroom at the same time, but I would like to have known. He had a real aura about him. I was afraid to approach him, so I didn't. Intersex. Oh, so yes, Ed, the Dodgers who really have pioneered this. Like they've been hosting this LGBTQIA+. Thing for years. They got bullied it's hard to know because what ends up happening in these situations is whoever has the loudest voice gets kowtowed to, and this seems like what happened here. But more breaking news just before we went to air here on Monday night, the Dodgers have apologized to whatever group that was that they disinvited and reinvited them, and the sisters of whatever have chosen to accept their invitation, so the Catholics are probably going to be real mad again.
But like every team does a Pride Night.
Yeah,
I don't.
Yeah.
It's just confusing.
I know this was a lot. Yeah,
where they took a stand.
I know it's weird. Let everybody live. Let these people live.
Yeah. But also, what's the plus for?
Yeah, we. I shouldn't say. I don't know what the plus is. We. I'm getting ready to go on a trip. I don't know if I should say this. I'm getting ready to go on a trip. And last year I went on this trip with my girlfriend and her dad. And
wasn't the swingers trip.
No, dad was involved in that. So my girlfriend and her dad, we go down to Cabo. He's got a place down there. We spend a week down there. It's very nice. And we went down there last year and he's like, hey, do you like this new hat I got? I got this cool new hat. And he's wearing a
rainbow.
Yeah. It's like a dad hat. And it had like a hand throwing up the peace sign and with a rainbow inside the hand. And, my chick's like, should I tell him? And I'm like, you should probably tell him. And then she did tell him. And he's like, oh, seriously? He's like, yeah, it's no big deal. I don't care. It's just a hat. And then he never wore the hat again. the rest of the time. So, hey, look, you know, to each their own.
I may have told this story. I was at a brewery in Asheville, North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
And I really liked the shirt.
yes.
And then I bought it. And then as I'm like going to put the card down, they like, hey, just so you know, and they flip the shirt over and on the back, it just says love is love like 3000 times.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, well, you know, and they're like, you still want to buy it, right? And I was like, of course.
Well, yeah,
of
you're course. Stuck at that point.
I got to tell you.
No, it's not getting worn too much.
I've only worn it like twice in 3 years.
Yeah. It's a gym shirt.
Yeah, it's just, of course love is love, and I love everybody.
Of course.
But like, you know, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not that kind of message wearer.
You're not a proclaimer. That's okay. Yeah, you're still an ally.
I'm an ally.
Yep.
But I would like to know what the plus is for.
I don't. Yeah. But, I mean, I'm sure we could find out, but we already Googled Wolfman Jack and, you know, we don't use too much of our
Googles.
That's
one too many Googles.
Yes.
Yeah. USC Athletic Director Mike Bone. Bone?
Yeah. Bone? Yeah. Bone.
Yeah. He resigned after it was reported he had made multiple inappropriate comments about female colleagues' physical appearance.
Now, I heard that also he used to be the AD at the University of Cincinnati.
Oh.
Where he also had this also happen there, too.
So he had already lost a job?
Well, no, I don't think he lost a job, but he was a known groper. But in Cincinnati, you know, they don't really.
That's right.
It's not a big deal.
That's Huggy Bear territory. Yeah, exactly. Originally.
And so, and look, and how much does the USC AD make? Probably about $1 million.
Oh, it's a very good gig.
Yeah.
You gotta hold fundraising events.
Yeah, you go, and he got him in the Big Ten. And he got Lincoln Riley.
The football team is on the upward swing. So
I mean, it can't be Utah, but, you know, other than that.
But I'm saying they've got Caleb Williams. Like, the best job in the world is the AD for a school that is having success in football. Because the money just pours in.
That's where the money is. And now, how hard is it? You're making this good money. How hard is it just not to be groping? The help, everybody there works for you. Just don't be like, hey, Grace, tits looking good today. I like it. You should wear that top more often. Like, how hard is it not to do that? And so then I was thinking about it.
Just go outside the job.
Yes.
And then you'd be like, man, you should see the tits on Grace. Yes. But you just don't do it in the office.
Exactly.
It's not that hard.
Seems pretty easy. But since it's obviously not, because this happens a lot, why don't organizations like this hire decoys? So they'll bring in a porn star. Yeah, they'll bring in like a pro and be like, "Hey, Mike, meet Trixie. She's your new admin. She absolutely hates it when you make comments about her massive set." And then it's like he wants to torment her, and she's got her big boobs out all the time, and he does it, and he thinks she hates it, but really she's just paid to absorb his lecherdom.
Yeah.
I think we're on to
something. I'm looking at him.
Yeah.
I don't know his exact age, but he's old enough to just be from a different era that, like, he doesn't get it.
Yeah.
He doesn't look that old, but.
Yeah. And he's not getting another $1 million job. He'll probably. Oh, he looks grabby, though.
He looks grabby. Yeah. And the grin in some of the pictures, you can feel how it all goes down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
But he's not like Jerry Richardson when he was doing that. Like, he was like 80.
Yeah. No, this guy's probably in his early 50s, mid 50s. Yeah.
50. Yeah. I would say in that range.
According to multiple sources inside the USC athletic department, Bone made inappropriate remarks about the physical appearance of female colleagues. Additional sources told the writer that Bone did not attend meetings he was supposed to attend. Well, he's big dicking it. He's like, I ain't coming to that meeting. I'm Mike Bone. Bone, and they were asked by that. Yeah, so a big expose was about to drop in the LA Times. Oh, you could see, you're just looking at these pictures and you see the look on his face and you're like, oh no, he's thinking about fucking right now. He's thinking about grabbing some ass. He's going to a massage parlor after work. He looks like that kind of dude.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he's not getting another $1 million job after this. That's for sure.
Well, somebody also lost their job in the world of college football, but not quite as high profile. University of Michigan assistant coach Shemi Schembechler has also resigned just 3 days after he was hired, when people started poking around on that Twitter account and they saw activity with posts and likes supporting slavery and Jim Crow.
I wonder
how he got the job.
Yeah, and you know, he goes by Shemmy because he probably, like, people were like, okay, well, you don't need to wear a pin with your dad's picture on it everywhere you go. Like, we just call yourself Shemmy, like, and we'll know.
Like Canadians who wear the maple leaf on their backpacks and stuff.
Yeah, just so you know.
In Europe, so they're like, hey, just so you know, I'm not American.
I'm not American.
You don't know.
I was wondering, like, do you think Jim Harbaugh probably didn't even know who this guy was, right? Because Jim Harbaugh, he's one of those guys that, because of whatever he has, he only can know, like, 11 people at any one time.
But he played for Bo. So yeah. I'm sure, like,
he owed him Jim a favor. Beckler,
yeah. Even though everybody conveniently looks past the misconduct that Bo looked the other way for. Yeah. There was some Sandusky stuff going on in his backyard, too.
And that doesn't surprise me at all. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, RIP Shemmy. Sure. Some car dealer. It's like Vince Young. You know, you'll get some job somewhere selling DirecTV or something. It'll be fine.
Vince Young had that no-show job that
couldn't do it.
He couldn't hack it.
He just had to show up once in a while.
Once a month, he's like, I've got a meal to have at Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah, he was spending $5,000 a day at Cheesecake Factory. How can you be expected to show up for work when there's cheesecakes to be consumed?
Yeah, well, he and Shemmy can get together.
Yes, absolutely.
There's a new fan theory that the father of porn star Lana.
Yeah, it's
Lana Rhodes.
Lana, yeah.
Lana Rhodes' baby is Nuggets role player Bruce Brown, even though that baby really does look like Blake Griffin. Remember when we did the story that like it was a net during the 2020 season or something?
Yeah. And she's not telling, which is weird.
It's weird that you're playing some sort of like clickbait thing with the father of your child.
Yeah. Now, I don't know which is worse or which is better, because if it's...
Oh, it's better to have the max contract, dude.
Yeah, but he's at the end, right? There's no more max contracts coming. He's done. Yeah,
I have a feeling there's never going to be a max contract for Bruce Brown.
But he's a role player.
So you always want the bag.
Yeah, sure. But he's a role player. He's gonna play nine more years.
He's gonna win a ring this
year. Yeah, there you go. I mean, I never heard of the guy before this week. This Lana Rose, she was a real worker too. I don't know if she's still active in the game, but I definitely had seen her work back in the day.
Yeah, she did a lot of work. However,
yeah,
for an NBA player who doesn't do a lot of work, the money isn't comparable.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, she should definitely hope for it to be, assume she knows. We should hope for it to be Blake Griffin's kid because it looks exactly like him. Okay, let's talk some. I mean, let's do some voicemails.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He sits down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus so fucking boring. And worthless, but he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than Ish. His thoughts are useless, shit. He's fat and got big
tits. It appears Lana Rhodes and Bruce Brown follow each other on Twitter. And I can't imagine anybody's following Bruce Brown on Twitter unless they have fluid shared at some point. Right?
Unless they've concocted something inside the tube.
Right. Like even the biggest NBA porno star fan is not like, she might follow like Steph Curry or, you know, Jason Tatum, you know, not going that far down the roster to Denver to Bruce Brown.
No. Conversely, chance. Do you think Bruce Brown ever liked one of her tweets on 9/11? No.
Unlikely. Like Ted Cruz? Unlikely. okay, let's do some voice mails.
Hey, Ballers, I just started episode 473, starting to talk about.
Yes. You know who just popped up on my TV?
Tell me.
Andy Garcia.
Oh, shut up. What are the odds? Does he?
What are the odds? He's at the Laker game.
Does he have both a penis and a vagina? Can you tell?
I was madly Googling it. Like, yeah. it much like the Richard Gere story and the Rod Stewart story. Like, yeah. I heard that several times from several sources.
It does sound kind of familiar. It does.
When I was a kid, but it's been scrubbed. It's been scrubbed.
Of course it has. Is he, while he's at the Laker game, is he wearing a scarf? Because at the party I was at, he had a scarf on the entire time.
Was it cold, or was this like a duster?
It was in November.
It was.
I mean, I don't know that there's
weather appropriate
in Southern California.
He's not wearing a scarf.
Yeah, no scarf.
He's looking pretty good. He's looking kind of the way he's always looked.
Okay. Yeah. He's a handsome guy.
He's a handsome guy. Yeah. He's good actor. Seems to have a big, nice watch.
Yeah. Oh no, he's wealthy.
Button down jacket, sunglasses inside. Yep. He's doing well for himself.
He was also in that movie Things to Do in Denver If You're Dead. Is that the kind of synergy that was that why he's at the game versus the Denver Nuggets?
Yeah. Anything goes when you're down 3-0.
Now you're down 3-0. No one has ever come back from 3-0.
No.
And your best case scenario is you win and then you got to fly to Denver, where the airport is an hour from the town. Then you get to Denver, you fucking drive all the way, you finally get to your hotel.
Is it that far?
I think it's pretty far. You drive all the way, get to your hotel, you sleep, you get up, you have shoot around, then you go the next night and just lose. So it's like, just lose tonight. Why would you want to go and have to travel just to go lose the series? I would say quit. Quit tonight.
You don't want to let Bateman down. That's he's clapping away.
I know. He's great. I know.
He's great.
He's a good dude. Okay, here's Ben.
About Breaking Bad, and this is how I know him. We're living in the simulation. I literally just picked up that show because I forgot I never finished it like 6, 7, 8 years ago.
That is interesting. So last week, for those that weren't listening, we were talking about shows that we had started and given up on, or whether it's okay to give up on a show. And I had said I had Breaking Bad recommended to me very early, but I watched one episode. And then when I heard Jesse Pinkman talk about how he puts chili powder into his meth, and he's like, that's my chili pea, yo. That's my signature. And I'm like, I'm out. I can't watch the show. I'm never watching this again. And then I ended up not watching it for like a couple years. Ben, I think, is saying he has a similar situation, except it's now.
So I picked it up again just recently.
Yep.
And one of the things I noticed that I almost was like, I don't know if I could finish this. Like, literally was like, watched one episode. I think I stopped at season 3. So I picked up season 4, which wasn't a bad place to pick up. I wasn't going to watch it all over again. But anyway, so I picked it back up around season 4. Thank God for Netflix telling me where I was stopped. But I was like, oh my God, this show is slow.
Yeah.
Like, I think we're just irreparably damaged into seeing things happen so fast in TV shows now that character development or anything developing over a long period of time in a show is I just couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
Like there was a part of an episode recently where they had a minute and a half of one guy going out to the desert to dig up a box to get money.
Yeah.
And they shot the entire thing of him going to the car, going to the trunk, getting the shovel, going out in the desert, digging a hole. It was we didn't need to see that, did we?
Yeah, we did, though.
Anyway,
but you were raptured.
Great show. I mean,
you were in rapture.
I'm glad I picked it back up again, but for a minute there, I couldn't get through it. Keep it, Baller.
Yeah, I like the slow burn. Like, The Wire was like that.
So, I my favorite show, The Wire.
Yeah.
I also, first episode, I remember watching it right away when it came on. And then being like, it's pretty slow. I don't know if I'm in the mood for this type of thing. And then after season 1, somebody's like, what, you didn't watch it? It's great. And then And then I went back and loved it. But sometimes it's just the mood you're in.
It totally is. Absolutely. And especially like if it's late and I'm sleepy, it's like I'm just not going to be into a show. And so a lot of times I'll be just like, I'll tell my chick, I'm like, just put on something mindless, because if we start watching something, I'm not going to be into it. And then I'm never going to watch it again. It is interesting, though, that all the shows that we consider the best shows are all those kind of slow burners. Sopranos, Mad Men, Breaking Bad, The Wire. They all kind of have that same sort of plotting pace. Yes,
yeah,
Small Wonder.
Great show. Slow burn.
Very. Thank you for that, Ben. Here's another one.
Boys, quick question. Lala. Uh-huh.
Is he? Do you think Lala's going to try to get us to play the Scoop It Up song? Because he seems to like to do that. And also, this is the real 27 Yankees of voices. We got 906 and Lala back to back.
Yeah, great voices. Coming.
Yeah,
wouldn't mind a little palate cleanser of Kyle bringing a different.
Oh yeah,
Kyle's different Connie. Voice, but also great.
He texted me today. He sent me a picture where he's
okay. So he's still there.
Oh, he's still there. Oh yeah, no, we're good. I thought we weren't friends anymore. I thought
because I was afraid we were out because
Super Lee had kind of chased him off because somebody posted a picture. It's so interesting, this world that we have. I don't know if they knew each other already, but you know, our buddy Chuck Snowjet SST, the guy that made this song. Great guy.
What's his age? I can't explain. He was young.
These two guys, they posted a picture of themselves together. I can't talk. And it was
Chuck and who?
Chuck and Super Lee. I'm all over the place. Hold on. I'll get back to Kyle. Chuck and Super Lee posted a picture on Twitter of the two of them together. It looked like they were at like a brewery or something. Nice. And just two great guys.
Yeah.
This fucking Super Lee appears to be a unit. Like this, he played. He played football at.
Of course.
I'm like, that dude's a big dude. I embarrassingly, when I was doing this workout program recently, I embarrassingly posted because I had reached the, what I thought was the pinnacle of being able to squat four plates. And so I posted a picture that I was in the four plates club. I'd finally been able to squat 405 pounds. And Super Lee goes, oh, you benching that?
Oh.
He's like, oh, you're finally in the four plate club like the rest of us. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, not even close. So, yeah, he's a big dude. Oh, that's what I was going to say. Kyle texted me today. He sent me a video, and it's just it's like sun setting, and he's in his combine. And it's just rolling through the field, and it's planting corn in perfect lines as he rolls through the field.
Satisfying,
and he's got the Brewers game on with Bob Uecker, and I was like, oh my god, I'm like,
how great is that?
That's what I said. I go, and those you're laying those perfect lines. It's so satisfying. And he goes, oh no, it's got auto steer, so it just does it. And I just sit here, listen to the game, and make sure nothing goes wrong.
Listen to Uecker; they're in first place.
Yeah.
Yep. Everything's coming up, Milhouse.
I know. It's great. Okay, here's Lala.
I'm thinking, how often do you guys
masturbate?
Telltale's wardrobe or get new clothes, change it out. It seems like I see on Facebook memories from I don't know how many years ago. I'll see a picture of me and I'll, shit, I'm looking at the same shirt.
Oh, yeah.
I got to be honest, I don't understand a word he's saying.
He's asking how often you recycle your clothes. Like he says he sees a picture of himself years ago and he realizes he's still wearing the same shirt. And I do that all the time. I was wearing a shirt a couple days ago that I'm like, oh, I bought this shirt 10 years ago and I still wear it all the time. There's certain garments.
Lots of my clothes are older than my kids.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And I told you the saddest moment with my clothes was one time there was the Clint Eastwood movie Gran Torino, and he moved to like a rough section of Detroit.
And he had the next same shirt neighbor, as you.
The next door neighbor boy was like, he's supposed to be like really like deep poverty. And I had the same shirt as him. I was wearing it in the theater. And I was like, oh man, this isn't a good look.
I know. That's pretty funny. You're wearing it to the movie.
Look how poor this kid is.
Yeah, exactly. No, I do that. Let's see if, I mean, LSU's line is kind of fucked up here.
And I know my wife fucking clothes like every couple weeks. It's something new coming to Amazon, but
hold on.
I'm wondering if
all
guys like me, we just wear the same shit over and over.
Yes.
Or if I'm just an outlier, how that goes with you guys. Yep. Another thing, I know it's 3/11 is a big holiday.
Biggest.
But there's also another holiday.
Oh.
I'm going to say this past week. I'm calling for the actual day that you guys aren't going to film or record until this weekend or Monday. But I want to give a shout out to a special host and wish him well on his day of celebration this week.
Oh. Thank you for that, LSU.
He's referring to your birthday on Friday, right?
That's right. Yes. Thank you very much, LSU. I appreciate that. I had a birthday. Here's another one.
Hey, guys. What's up? It's Dave in Salt Lake for
Dave.
Work. I'm sorry to call in yet again.
No, I'm not sorry.
I'll take a break next week. But
no.
Every week, you guys, I got to bring something up.
Yeah.
That you guys hit on. And I still got 92 minutes left, but I'm not calling in again. As far as Judge Wapner,
Was
the OG. He was great.
Fuck
Doug Llewellyn, that name made me laugh my ass off. And actually, there's no white person today.
I was just thinking of is Doug Llewellyn will be like, people will be like, nah, that's bullshit. Like, I signed the lease, but it didn't say anything about having to maintain the carpets. And he'd be like, well, sorry.
Llewellyn always twisted that knife.
Yeah. And then he'd go, Rusty's got some papers for you to sign. And then the bailiff was like the paper guard. Like I thought the bailiff just kept order in the court in case something popped off, but also he had to do paperwork at the end. Why was Rusty the keeper of the contracts?
Yeah. It seems like weird.
Yes.
Rusty, responsibilities.
Rusty's got some papers for you to sign.
Sunny. It's nice out. So don't worry about that.
Oh, his wipers. Hold on. I think I stepped on him. I'll try not to stop him again. I think he was talking about that was his wipers that we heard in his car multiple times. He's called in with his wipers going.
You guys, Miller Lite, MGD, there's no question. If I had to choose one, I would take Miller High Life. Okay. Yeah. They're both awful beers. So
no.
But one is much better than the other. MGD.
No. MGD sucks. Miller High Life is good. And,
we got to take our victory wherever we can.
Yeah.
We at least had to establish that he was going to say that it's awful, MGD. I'll take that victory.
I mean, he was all
I know he's
place.
Trying to bring High Life down with it, but I'm just going to choose to accept that he's saying
you're on the bright side here.
MGD is bad.
Yeah, no, it is bad. High Life is good. And we've been getting a lot of High Life.
People love High Life on Twitter.
People love High Life. And I'll tell you what, summer comes around, the sun comes out. Right now, it's very gloomy here. That sun comes out, there's definitely going to be some High Life going in the backyard during the summer.
Yeah, I think this weekend I'm going to have to.
Oh, that sounds really nice. Just ice cold in that clear glass bottle.
It's a beautiful bottle.
Got to be out of the bottle. Out of the can, it just doesn't hit the same. It's got to be out of that beautiful, clear glass bottle.
He is absolutely the worst. I don't even think they make Bud Dry anymore. Succession.
Bud Dry is great.
The best show. I did message you. I had to stop for a second. Best show on TV. You guys know how I feel about The Wire. You can't compare it with The Wire.
Of course not.
Probably the best show since Homeland. I didn't know. So I bet my brother $100. I forgot because it's been so long. Who's going to be holding the reins at the end? I had no idea this was the last season. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I got
who cares?
$100. I got Roman.
Don't care.
He's got Greg. I had totally forgot about Greg. I don't know how they're going to wrap this up in two episodes, even though one's like a movie, full-length movie or something like that, hour and a half, 45 minutes.
Next week.
But Ed's right. They say it's such a weird dialogue. I mean, it's very sophisticated.
It's funny.
And the way a bunch of rich bucks act.
Yeah.
You know, it would be like the Murdochs. But who do you guys got? That's my question. Who is
I quit.
If there's going to be a last man standing, who's got control of Waystar Royco? Is it who is it? Because I think it is Greg now.
Yep. You want to answer?
David and I have been conversing on the side about speculation. I think ultimately it goes to Kendall, but yeah,
he's the only one. Like it's right. Like it's he was in line like the whole time.
Right. It seems like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But who knows?
I won't know. I won't know because I will not resume the show. And that reminds me, I still haven't picked up Better Call Saul.
Resume it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unlikely I resume it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I fucked up. Yep. And that's it. Yeah. And also, yeah, Judge Judy, she is a baller. From what I understand, for the last 7-10 years, she's the highest paid TV host, period. I think she's close to a billionaire. I think she makes $500.
I like $500 million
a year.
I like how he's saying shit that we said back to us.
That's crazy. It's fucking crazy.
Yep.
All right, fellas. A lot of yes and Succession. I cannot wait to hear your predictions on who is going to be the CEO.
Don't care.
All right, guys. Take care. See ya. Bye.
Look. Okay.
This is where we talk about the tiered thing, but it doesn't have to be a tiered thing.
Yeah.
I will discuss in detail with the last episode with David on the side.
Oh, okay. I will. And look, this probably isn't very popular, but between season 3 and 4, Shiv really carb loaded, right? Like there was a lot of pasta. There was some lasagnas involved. Like there was a lot of meetings.
Happens to the best of
us. It does. Hey, look, I'm not one to talk. Like she started making money. She's Australian, so you know they love those meat pies down there. But they got to shoot her a whole different way now. I'm a fan though. I like her. I think she should get it. Here's another one.
Hey ballers, this is Mateo. Matt and Finley
Matt
checking.
And Finley.
It's been a while. I'm
Matt
sorry, I've been AOL.
Matt and Finley's got
a lot of
DJ
stuff
voice
going on.
Yeah.
That's kind of the reason for my call today. I need your input, Ed and Brian. I trust your judgment. I'm a roughly right around 50-year-old father of five, living in northwestern Ohio.
Are you Mormon? You're not Mormon because you're boozing all the time. That's too many kids, buddy. I'm sure you love them all equally and whatnot, but that's so many. I think you're a lawyer, so, you know, you can afford them, but come on,
the
buddy.
The Mormon dude that I went to the game with in Phoenix, they all had like 5 apiece.
Yeah, that's so many. That's so many.
That's a lot.
That's so many.
Well, I've recently accepted a position. I'm moving to the big city of Cincinnati.
Shut up.
Congrats.
Huge change for me. Yeah. The town I'm living in now is about 40,000, so taking the trek down 75 a couple hours to the big city of Cincinnati.
Yep.
That's right, where Katie Shady resides.
Yep.
So maybe she can chime in as well.
She can.
As to what I can expect. Somebody be making a huge move later this summer with my family. And am I nuts
congrats
for doing this?
No, not at all.
It's good. It's good to mix it up
totally
in life. Give yourself a new challenge.
Yes. That's great.
I don't know the numbers, but I don't think Cincinnati is like,
no,
you're moving to New York City.
No.
You're moving to a small city.
Yes.
You'll be fine.
A small, big city. Totally.
Am I crazy this stage of my life?
That's a pretty small town.
But 40,000 is not that small.
Isn't it? Yeah. Okay.
My hometown was like 8,000.
Yeah.
It was a tiny town. But
yeah, but there's all towns around it. You know,
yes,
you go
yes,
to a town
yes
next to it. And, you know, there's still people there.
Yes.
Yeah.
True.
Life for doing it. It's just, it's slightly more money, and the idea of living in a city that actually has shit to do in it.
I like it.
Really kind of appeals to me.
Yeah, you gotta go to Katie and her husband's pub, Motor Pub, and see some, you like live music. They got live music every night there. You go there.
And if they took our suggestion, there's going to be a nice portrait of Johnny
that's
Fever
right
on the
that's
wall.
That's right, and Venus Flytrap.
That's
absolutely
right.
Maybe even
can
less.
Read.
Yes.
So let me know what you think. Plus,
I love it.
I'd be able to go to all your favorite teams' games,
that's
Brian
right
Beckner. That's
yeah
right, the Bengals. I'd be right in the heart of Joe Burrow Lake.
Yep.
I'm looking for your input and feedback. Then I also see
it
earlier in this
I would
week
move
a
there
story coming out of Loveland, which is just outside of Cincy, about a woman who defecated on the altar inside the chapel at Good Samaritan
Hospital. This is really taking
hospital
a turn. Yeah.
Now, I see that the defecator was from Loveland.
Yeah.
Again, which is kind of a suburb just outside the 275
okay
loop.
You're kind of rambling here.
I don't, know
here. I don't like where this is
located,
going.
Whether that's in Loveland or whether she came into Cincinnati proper to take
this
a shit on the altar.
This
I'm
is
not
Manuel
sure
local talk.
But that gives me some hesitation. So,
well, oh, yeah, because big cities.
Me?
This happens.
Katie needs to chime in and give me the heads up as to whether, you know, the altar defecator from Loveland Loveland yeah. should be something that should give me pause.
Yeah.
But I'm looking for some input. I appreciate it. Again, TBLS Nation, stay strong. Mateo's out.
Mateo, I could see your
congrats on the bump in pay.
Yep. Do it.
New adventure. Do it, buddy.
Absolutely. Do it. Go to the big town. Go also Katie Shady will get you a house. She's a realtor. So like look, right.
She knows the best spots to use the restroom.
That's right. She knows where you can go, you know, on the way to yoga or whatever. She'll take care of you. I think you gotta do it. It sounds fantastic. You're all over it. I think you know what to do.
Yeah.
Oh no. Oh no, Ed.
Oh boy. Back.
Looks like it.
3 minutes.
Also, he's figured out a way. There's no transcription available, but I see he's used the entire 3 minutes. Here we go.
What family is the rant going to be about?
I'm going to say it's something Dodger. Oh no, Lakers. It's Lakers. It's Anthony Davis. And
I think it's going to be how people are jealous of the LA teams.
Yeah. Oh, they are? Yeah. Well, that is true.
He loves to talk about how everyone's jealous.
Yeah. That's true.
The haters.
Yeah, haters. Oh, there's a lot of haters out there. Let's see. Now, he left this on Friday. Oh, Friday. I believe the Lakers got smoked on Saturday. So, so this is maybe he's puffing his chest up that the Lakers were going to do well. Let's see.
Ryan.
Yeah.
Easy Eddie.
Yep.
What is up, fellas?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, man.
Long time, no talk.
Yep.
You guys haven't realized you guys are basically my complaint box for everything.
Huh. I'm calling the show for like 7 years.
New complaint.
Yeah. Oh, new complaint.
Once again, Hollywood strikes back.
Oh, Hollywood.
And it can't be because of those two Writers Guild.
Oh.
Dudes that are protesting.
Well, hold on. Ed, as you know, I support labor and I do. And no one wants the fat cats to keep the money. I want it spread amongst the workers. But the problem is these writers, they're very active on Twitter and stuff.
They are fucking up Twitter.
Yeah, I want them to get their stuff for sure.
They deserve what they're...
Of course.
There's all kinds of ways in the new streaming world that the studios are trying to fuck with all the content creators. Yes. And so we stand with them.
Yeah, of course. Like, yes. Yeah. But it's, man, I don't want to have to see it.
Twitter has been rough.
Yeah,
lately.
I want to just kind of got to mute that. But get your money. Get your bag.
Striking because they can't make a living off $150,000 a year.
Well, that's not.
No, that's not my goodness. I mean,
that's when they have a job.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's hard to get jobs. They're freelancers. Manuel,
what you're doing, you're siding with people with billionaires making more billions.
Yes.
That's what you're siding with.
The writers are like you, Manuel. They're tradesmen. They go job to job, freelancing.
My issue.
You don't cheer for the house in Blackjack.
No,
of course not.
Florida Jones.
Oh, my God.
Delaware Jones.
What's going on?
Indiana.
I don't know.
Jones.
He's pissed about Indiana Jones.
Are we for real, Hollywood?
What?
No. I don't even think they got the boo for Shia.
I can't believe I'm
did
able.
Did he say Delaware Jones?
Yeah. He's making a joke about because Indiana's the name of a state. So then he said some other states in front of Jones.
Okay.
Like, that's funny. But there is a new Indiana Jones, and what's his name is 80 years old.
Well, they, like, de-aged him.
Yeah, they de-aged him, but they still move like an old man.
And I read a headline that the studios are worried because it only got, like, a six-minute ovation at Cannes.
These ovations, Ed.
These ovations are out of control. Every year they're getting worse. They're saying it was a tepid reaction because it got six or seven minutes.
Killers of the Flower Moon got an ovation as long as the movie. And the movie's like 4.5 hours. Like what are these ovations? Like how long can you stand there clapping?
It hurts your hands after like 10 seconds.
A good like 10, 15 second ovation. Just the fact that you stood up is enough. You stand up, you clap for a couple seconds, and you sit your fucking ass back down. These ovations are so long.
Hella Booth to come in and
he's not in this
some young blood to Indiana Jones.
Because he's problematic.
Honestly, I won't know because I'm not going to watch it.
No.
It's kind of far-fetched for me to buy into the fact that
a
dude that's 80 years old is jumping.
Okay, I can't listen anymore. Thanks for that, Manuel. Here's another one.
Hey guys. It's your good buddy, Mark the Nomad.
Mark the Nomad.
Just calling to follow up on one of the stories talked about last week about the thin-lipped, crazy Utah Mormon wife that killed her husband and then wrote a children's book about it. Was arrested for his murder.
She fentanyled his Moscow mule.
That's right.
And it was her second attempt, we understood. He had told his buddies, hey, I think she had some crazy name. He's like, I think Tracy's trying to kill me. But then he continued to accept drinks from her and live in the same house as her.
She may be trying to kill me, but sure, I'll take that mixed drink.
I'm Parks over here. Could you make me something? Not like you made it the last time.
Sure, you put it in a pewter cup.
Follow up. Could be wrong. Nope. Didn't really read too deep into it. Would have involved a lot more reading than I wanted to. But I'm pretty sure that after she failed at killing him the first time on a Valentine's Day fentanyl dose, he went and changed his will and all of his life insurance policies that she had taken out on him without his knowledge. He caught wind of it and changed all that shit. So not only did, when she offed him thinking she was going to get fucking rich, it was all changed and probably went to his kids or hopefully went to his fucking kids. I mean, Christ.
Yeah.
But, piece of shit, bitch.
But again, who's the joke on? Because he's dead. He's like, I got you, bitch. You're not getting any of my money when I'm dead next week. Like, what? Like, you know she's trying to kill you. What good does it do to change the will?
Now, I think it's like what Hamilton did to Burr. He wrote in his memoir, I'm not going to try to, or his diary, I'm not going to try to shoot Burr. And then if he dies in the duel, it makes Burr look shitty. And all he was doing was assassinating Burr's character his whole life. So it's like, yeah. You know you're going down, but at least you can fuck with the person who leads to your demise.
Now, are you sure he didn't write it in his will where he's like, I won't be shooting Burr in a duel because I'll end up looking like a fool. And then it was like, and also he was black.
What he stands for, I don't care. I'm going to shoot this pistol in the air.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got an itchy trigger finger, and the geometry teacher used a hard R.
Okay, here's another one.
Hey guys, Kyle and Scotty here.
Oh, Kyle and Scotty!
You were talking about the butchering of rabbits or something like that.
Yep, some backup from The Bachelor.
At the farm here, we do butcher our own and take it to the meat locker or whatever, and they process for us, but we get a shitload of meat out of a cow, but
fuck yeah, you do.
Fucking raising a rabbit, what are you gonna get, like one meal out of that?
Exactly.
I guess I don't really understand that.
I guess anyway, so many of them.
Yeah, so many.
Keep her baller.
Yeah,
later guys. Out.
And they have big litters. It's better to just have one big ass cow and a bunch of little bunnies. And also
the phrase fuck like rabbits, like they just procreate like crazy.
Yeah, they procreate like, and I'm not into like I eat chicken. I'm not into like little bones, right? You know, like people eating frog legs, like I don't want to picture the frog. Or like, you ever have like quail or anything like that? Bones are so tiny.
It's a little disturbing. But like, I think our position was, I don't want to kill the rabbit, and it's weird if you like take something on as a pet and like care for it and then kill it.
Yeah,
but at the same time, like, people kill things. As long, if you're not a vegetarian, you're not taking a stand.
Life eats life, buddy. I agree with you there. Okay, a lot of voicemails this week. Some really good ones and one that wasn't.
Yo, B, Darbo.
Oh.
What up, Ed?
What up, Ed?
Hey, Darbo. First of all, I too, Brian, use the pull-out method
that's right.
I have my entire life.
It works great.
Other than in two instances.
That's right.
Which are the reason I have two boys.
You got to be disciplined. Now, they'll tell you, oh, you know, there's sperm in the pre-seminal fluid. But you gotta ejaculate it. You gotta shoot. Her cervix needs to open up, which usually it's like
super technical.
Yeah, it starts. You know, the cervix when a woman orgasms or is close, the cervix starts to actually like sort of like grab out in front of it. It wants to pull that semen in there. So you really gotta shoot it in there. They try to trick you with that. Oh, you could get them pregnant from the pre-seminal fluid. No. You can't. You just got to be disciplined. Don't hold on for that first shot. You take it out and you just give it a couple tugs and get it out yourself. That's just good science.
Secondly, can we talk a little bit about Michael Block from this weekend?
Ed, are you familiar with the story?
No.
It was literally the biggest story in sports this weekend.
Michael Block?
I love this. So, and I know you're not a golf fan, but
hang on a second. What? You cannot say the biggest story in sports and the NBA playoffs and
this is bigger.
Like, even no, yes. It's not bigger than
open
the
your
NBA
Twitter
playoffs.
Right now. You'll see a story about it. It's the biggest story in sports. The PGA Championship, which is a major tournament.
It happened this weekend?
It happened this weekend. And you know how, like, sometimes, like, local pros, I don't know how it works because I'm cool. I don't know about stupid shit like this. But, like guys that aren't, like, on the tour can qualify for these things somehow.
Oh, like Tin Cup.
Like Tin Cup. It's exactly like Tin Cup. That's a great reference, except he used to be a pro. But this guy was never a pro. So the local pro at the course here in Mission Viejo, Michael Block was playing in the PGA, the PGA, it's called the PGA Championship.
Super huge thing.
Yes. And he played, not only did he make the cut, but he finished the tournament in 15th place. He won like almost $300,000. He made a hole in one. It was a huge thing because it's never happened. It hadn't happened in like 50 years. That a qualifier had finished this high. Now they're probably going to make a movie about him. He was on the Today Show. Good Morning America. He's been on sports everywhere. He's everywhere. You can't get away from him. You can't escape this guy unless your name is Ed Daly, which is, it's actually really impressive that you're not aware that Michael Block had this incredible weekend. That's what Darb's talking about.
So as you know, great. Michael Block is the head tour professional coach teacher at our local club.
You know what his title is. It's pro. He's a professional. Local PGA Tour pro, which means you give lessons and you work at the golf course.
Royo. And I don't know Michael Block. I mean, he seemed like an okay guy on television. I mean,
he did.
He faked that he didn't know he had a hole in one. And he faked he didn't know he was playing with Rory. But that's neither here nor there.
Yes.
The problem with Michael Block may not be him, but the golf course, they love him.
That's true.
So much.
That's true.
You can't walk into the pro shop. You can't walk into the bar without everybody asking you if you know Michael Block, or did you see Michael Block, or did you see he shot a 59 at Arroyo?
Yeah.
They constantly
just
blow him like there's no tomorrow. And then secondly, they're the biggest bunch of assholes at a golf course I've ever met in my entire life.
It's white guys that golf a lot, Brad. Like, what do you, yes. That's what more description do you need?
They're rude from the minute you walk into the clubhouse.
That is true.
Till you finally get off the course.
There's no bigger dick in the world than the golf course starter. And I don't understand why. You pay $200 to play some golf, and he's like, hey, are you ready? Let's go. Get the fuck. Like, they're such dicks to you. I don't understand it. But I'm not a golfer. You know, I mean, I occasionally play golf, but I'm very bad. And I don't hang around golf courses because I'm cool.
Worst experience at that golf course is the first 25 minutes that you have to get to your car to when you can get to the first tee.
Yeah.
Will I root for him next week at Colonial? 100%.
Yes.
If he shot an 85 on Thursday,
yes,
or a 90, I think I stole that from you, B.
Yep.
I wouldn't be disappointed either. So sure, that's my take on old Michael Block. Hope he does now well next weekend. Yes. Love your show.
Yes. So it's like, it's kind of like, remember that Dennis Quaid movie where he was like a teacher and then he was on the Rays, but it's actually even like kind of more impressive than that. Oh my God. Darbo's called back.
It's more impressive than pitching in the majors.
Yes. Yes.
Jesus. What kind of old white guy world are you living in?
I mean, I see what you're saying. I'm just stunned that you were able to avoid this story because I have not been. I do not seek out this information, and it's everywhere around me.
I'm not pretending. Yes. Like sometimes I know when a major's going on. Like the thing I do know is a guy from LIV Golf won it.
That's
like,
right, Brooks Koepka.
I knew that much.
Yes.
I knew it existed. I didn't hear this guy's name.
Yes.
I don't know anything about him.
But,
you know, any sport where you can play with a heater in your mouth, do not tell me it's more impressive also, than a guy making the fucking majors as like a high school teacher.
Also, take a look at Michael Block, who is, I mean, it's big too because it's a local story. He's the pro at this.
That's why this you haven't avoided it, because he's a local guy.
I know, but it's not like I've been watching the local news. Like, it's all over my Twitter, and I don't follow any like local accounts. I don't know.
Oh, I see he sinks a hole in one. What am I looking at?
Yeah. Well, look at his face. Take a look at that guy.
Okay.
Ed, how fucking old is this guy? How old is this fucking guy, Michael Blockhead?
Okay. I guess he's a decent looking dude.
Yeah. I'd fuck him.
I'd say he's 51.
That's what I was thinking. Like, I'm like, they got to be setting him up. He can go on the Champions Tour. He'll do well out there. And look, I got nothing against this guy, like Darb in the OC. That guy's 46. Darby
said he was cheering for him.
Yeah, he's not. That guy was 46. That guy's 46.
Wait, older than him?
Yeah, you're older than that guy. Right? It's a lot of sunshine out there on the golf course. You guys got to wear that sunscreen.
Take care of that skin.
Yeah. Okay. Darb's got more to say on this.
Well, again, I heard calling in twice is like a thing, so I thought I'd do it.
Yeah.
Darb's a real disruptor. Wrong, Arroyo,
he's still going. He's talking about his local golf club where this guy works. Like, this is Darb.
He belongs to the club.
Well, it's not a membership place, but yeah, he plays there. So yeah, it just happens to be local to us. And look, I go there and I play with these guys and it's too hard for me. I don't really like playing there. And also it's $200, which is too much. But surprisingly, where I live, there's not that much golf around. So this is just kind of where I go and play with these guys and they're good at golf. And so I think it's hits close to home because they hate the people that play at that course and they also play there. And so look, this is a local story, but it was also a big story that some people didn't know.
One of the people that worked there happens to be a listener of yours. I love the golf course. It's my most favorite golf course.
No one listens to me there.
And we play it a lot. One guy that we play with, this celebrity fellow, says it's relatively easy.
Yeah.
When he was about a 10 handicap, shot a 69 there.
He's talking about Travis Rogers.
Odds of somebody shooting, you know, 69, 70. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was at least 200 or 300 under par.
Yeah, I think it was 200.
For a 10 handicap,
I
mean, it's pretty unreal.
Yeah.
So I do love the golf course.
Yep.
It's just the people there
I agree.
Awful.
But that's all golf courses.
Anyway, all I got.
Yeah.
Have a great week.
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
I think that's 95% of why I kind of tailed off with playing golf.
Yeah.
I don't like the atmosphere at the course.
I agree with you. 100%. I go there with my buddies.
At the club, not the course itself. Yeah. I'm saying like at the club. Totally. I don't like that.
Yes, the ancillary, the getting in and out. Basically what Darb is saying. I agree. I like a nice municipal course, and there's one down here in San Clemente, but you can never get on. I don't know. It's not important. Okay, let's read some voicemails. Thank you for that, Darb. Hello, dear friend. I know that you are a big Lakers, Dodgers, and Kings fan. Do you get really excited when a player from one of those teams gets injured or the team loses? Regards, G. Fish, a Royal Tribuco member. That's the golf course. Not on the waiting list like some people. No, I don't. I'm off.
What is this like referencing something? Like, why would you be a fan of them getting hurt?
I don't. I support my team unless, well, I will admit, though, that I'm kind of out on the LeBron James version of the Lakers. I like true Lakers like Austin Reeves and Kobe Bryant, despite the fact that he did rapes. Okay. That's the Lakers I like, but I would never root for them to lose unless, you know, they've had to go on a long flight. Here's another one. Hey, ballers, Drew in Phoenix here. It's that time of year again. My birthday is this week. Happy belated birthday, Brian, as well. I think yours passed recently. That's true. Thank you. A few comments on this. I am in the same boat as you guys about most things birthday related. The worst things you could do for me on my birthday is to, one, sing to me, of course, and two, gather masses to give me attention. I don't like it the day before or after my birthday, and I don't like it on that day either. My wife thinks this is blasphemy. This is hitting close to home. I'll elaborate. My wife thinks this is blasphemy, though she honored my wishes in the past with small get-togethers. This year, I think she was trying to plan a roast. Oh, my God.
Whoa.
The absolute horror I'm going to be living in until next weekend is unfathomable. Knowing this possibility exists, her heart is in the right place. Of course it is. But I think, quote, birthday people are truly unable to help themselves. Send positive vibes. The next thing I wanted to mention about birthdays is what I find to be the most boring conversation in the history of human interaction. This conversation is the one you have when you meet someone who shares a birthday with you. I feel like Larry in an episode of Curb when this happens, like I'm the only asshole on Earth who doesn't find it interesting. There's 8 billion people on Earth and 365 days. If we're 9 years apart, there's genuinely nothing to talk about. Are we supposed to be friends now that we found out our dads decided not to pull out around the same time of year, a decade apart? What's even worse is people who think it's interesting to have a birthday around. Sorry. Around the same time as yours. That's not even worth being called a coincidence. Am I being a Scrooge about this? Yeah, but I think it's justified. Thanks for the content. This is one of the only places I can voice these grievances and not feel like a maniac. Well, Drew, yes, I think we're in the same boat. And isn't that kind of coincidental that our birthdays aren't that far apart? But I will say this. My girlfriend's like, what do you want to do for your birthday? And I'm like, nothing. I don't want to do anything for my birthday. And she's like, oh, we could, you know, do this. And she's like, and she's genuinely into it. And I think she was kind of like, didn't get the fact that I'm just not, I don't like that kind of attention. It really makes me uncomfortable. And I don't know why. It's the way I was raised or the time of year I was born. But then she took it to mean that I didn't want my birthday even mentioned at all.
It's not acknowledged?
Yeah. So it's like, so when I leave for work in the morning, she's asleep. And I was like, hey, I'll see, give her a kiss goodbye. And I'm like, see you later. Love you. And she's like, okay, happy birthday. And then like the whole day went by and I'm like, fuck, you're not even going to text me happy birthday. And then I was like,
scared her off.
Yes, I did. And it was my fault because she's like, I guess I've been sending mixed messages. And she's like, no, she's like, you said, don't do anything for my birthday, which she took to mean don't acknowledge my birthday. So I guess I'm like Drew in that sense where I don't want a party. I don't want gifts. It's really, if there's a lot of people there, it's too much attention. But it is nice to get a text from people, you know, hey, happy birthday. And all, Ed, you texted me. Lots of people did. And I really appreciate it on my birthday. It's nice. It's nice to be acknowledged. But fuck, could you imagine a roast?
Oh, nightmare fuel. Yeah, I'm sort of with you. So yeah. What I like about my birthday is
the band 311.
It's kind of a guarantee. You get the greatest gift of all.
Yeah. Day to yourself. Oh, you get a blowjob. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yes.
You get the greatest gift.
Yeah.
And then like you can like, I want this for dinner. Like whatever you get to call like that.
Yes.
And like my birthday was on a Friday and one of my buddies knew it was my birthday and was like, hey, let's go out for a boozy lunch. And got like a couple other friends and they're like, hey, we're going to go out for lunch on Ed's birthday. But like, it wasn't like we're having a party and speech and stuff like that. It was just, hey, let's make a point of some friends going out and having a boozy lunch.
Yeah.
Like that is the type of like birthday party. Like it wasn't a party. It was just, hey, this is a reason for us to get out. This time.
Totally. So
I like that kind of birthday.
I totally agree with you. So last year, it seems like on my birthday week, it seems to work out. The baseball schedule works out that there's always a midweek businessman special at Dodger Stadium, like within a couple days of my birthday. So last year, me and Shay and Travis, the three of us, just went to a game and had a few beers and watched the Dodgers. I think they played the Diamondbacks. Justin Turner had a home run. It was great. You know, just like a nice little afternoon. And then so then this year, I did the same thing with my kids. Me and my kids, we went to Philippe's and got a French dip, went to Dodger Stadium, watch the game. If it's, you know, afternoon in the sunshine, we got a sunburn. That's like my perfect birthday. It's like a low key thing where everybody gets together and does something I like to do.
Yes.
So I agree with you. Yes. Another one. A lot of input this week. I love it. Ballers. I enjoyed the brief posthumous discussion of Jerry Springer on last week's episode. And Ed is right. The dollop episode on him was fantastic. The public perception of him will always be weird to me. I'm in my early 40s and grew up in Cincy. Are we Eskimo brothers, Andy? Is there something I need to know? You're pointing out a detail here that makes me a little concerned.
A little too close to home.
Yeah. What's going on here? So my memory of him was mostly formed after the politics and prostitute bits, but before the Jerry Springer show. He was actually the most popular newsman in Cincinnati for several years, from the late 80s to the early 90s. In a way, he was kind of the Ron Burgundy of the city. You knew he was a little weird and probably had some deals, as T-Raj would say. But everybody loved seeing him when they turned on the TV around dinner time. On another note, I have two toddlers at home, so naturally I find myself listening to a lot of music from the movie Frozen and its various sequels and offshoots. This got me wondering about Josh Gad, who Ed's buddy Sarah says I look like. How fucking rich is this guy?
True?
Yes. The voice of a cartoon snowman in several highly marketed Disney flicks, and also the lead in a long Broadway run of a musical that was way better than Hamilton. That has to add up. Andy and Indy. Ed, how fucking rich is this guy? Oh, wait. I put it on. See, we got to figure this out because the how fucking rich is I is on a different board now. How about this?
How fucking rich is this guy? I can't figure it out. I guess I'll try. Is he worth a billion or maybe just a million? How fucking rich is this guy?
Josh Gad, I don't know if that's somebody people know. I don't really know who he is other than to know that it's very insulting to be compared to him physically. I know he's a song and dance guy. I don't know
he's Book of Mormon is what Andy was
Oh, really? He's that how he came up?
I'm pretty sure that's what he's talking about. Yes. But I'm looking on his IMDb page.
Yes.
And it's not a lot. Like he's Olaf from Frozen, which was massive.
Yep.
But like,
and he probably gets, he's probably, they're doing sequels, Ed. There's always going to be sequels.
But they're not giving points.
You get like, you Disney, know, but Disney, things elevate.
They elevate, yeah. But like, he's just been like in some, he was a chiropractor in an episode of Curb. Like,
that's a good one. Yep.
He's not.
You don't see any big paydays.
And Broadway, I don't think he was getting paid big, but like, it's got to be worth something. Yeah. I'm going to say he's worth, like, which, if I was worth this, I'd be over the moon.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm going to say he's worth, like, 10 to 15. I'm going to say 15 just because everyone's always higher than I think. My instinct is 10, but I'm going to say 15.
Josh Gad is an American actor who has a net worth of $14 million.
Whoa, this is like the closest I've ever come.
That's true. Josh Gad is best known for playing Elder Cunningham in the hit Broadway musical The Book of Mormon, which earned him a Tony nomination, and voicing Olaf in Disney's Frozen franchise. He has appeared in more than 30 films, including The Rocker. Is that the one? Is that the one where Marky Mark takes over for Judas Priest? No, that's Rockstar.
Yeah. I don't know The Rocker.
Beauty and the Beast, Murder on the Orient Express. Josh had a regular role on Fox's Back to You from 2007 to 2008. NBC's 1600 Penn. FX's The Comedians. And guest starred on So.
You know what that was? I never saw it, but I remember The Comedians, I think, was Josh Gad and Billy Crystal. It was one of those ones that I was like, hard pass gets thrown around a lot. What a
combo.
But that was the hardest of passes.
So he was on New Girl, which was that was a big show on Fox. He was on that for 3 seasons. So that's some good money.
Then this sounds low to me.
Yeah.
Because I bet for the Frozen sequel, he got 5 sticks for that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, no, he's got some. Yeah, maybe he's a $20 million man at this. What he is?
New Girl, like that was a pretty big sized.
Oh, for sure.
That was Zooey Deschanel.
Yep.
Yeah, like that was a big enough show.
Oh, for
I didn't
sure.
watch it, but like it was around.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, no, he's a big deal. Okay, and handsome. Let's talk some not sports.
Well, it's time for Not Sports, Not Sports segment on the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Not Sports, Not Sports, Not Sports, Not Sports, Not Sports. I'm talking about the segment now. Not Sports, Not Sports, Not Sports segment.
Oh. Ed, what is going on in the world of things that are not, in fact, sports related?
Well, we talked about the Cannes Film Festival is maybe it just finished or was going on the past week. And somebody, a friend of the show, was there, Johnny Depp, to promote his role as Louis the 15th in a French film this past week. First, he asked not to be judged on the abuse case and told people to do their own research. He also said he's proud of his rotting teeth. And he also said, I don't feel much further need for Hollywood. A lot going on with Johnny.
Well, Johnny Depp, I don't know why he would ask to not be judged on the case where he was abused by his ex-wife, but that was nice of him to leave her out of that. Now, I don't know why somebody would be proud of their rotting teeth. I will say. Yeah, yes.
To paraphrase the great Martin Luther King, judge me not by the abuse case or the color of my teeth, but rather the content of my character.
Do you, Johnny, I looked at those teeth. Now, sometimes this happens to me, and I have some veneers. I've broken some teeth in my life. I think mine are more prone to show this up. When I drink a little bit of red wine, I really get that kind of like stained teeth look until I brush my teeth. Could this have been a red wine situation, or is it mostly cocaine involved that have your teeth looking like that?
I have to be honest. I had a recent trip to the dentist, had the gall.
Yes.
The temerity.
Yeah.
To tell me that I'm not supposed to be brushing my teeth with wine.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah. Interesting. News to me. I've been doing this since I was 14 as I grew up in France.
Yeah, because, you know,
this is what we do.
You know, I've heard, you know, you're not, Johnny, you're from Kentucky in Florida. You didn't grow up in France.
I don't have a need for Hollywood. I'm making French films about Louis the 14th.
But you don't even speak French. You were married to a French woman for a while, and you have half French children, I guess.
Well, yes, I'm.
You're not French.
I'm in character as Louis the 15th. I'm hooking up with Madame Pompadour on the side, and I'm fearing Robespierre.
What's next for you, Johnny? You've done a movie in French. Is it, you know, reboots are really popular now. Any thoughts on reconnecting with Richard Grieco after you famously had that falling out when you made eye contact during Spit Roast? I know you've stayed close with Peter DeLuise, son of the great Dom, and of course, Harry Aoki. Who's your close friend? Any thoughts on reconnecting with them and doing a new version of 21 Jump Street?
Well, the gang and I have kicked around some ideas, and I'm happy to report, you know, since I'm operating outside the Hollywood system, I've decided to make my own movie.
Oh, Mortimer 3.
With the gang.
Yeah.
But, you know, unfortunately, it won't be as Officer Tom Hansen.
That's too bad.
But it's going to be the gang. Yeah. DeLuise, Aoki. We'll even check to see if Holly Robinson wants to show up.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
We are going to make a movie, and get this.
Yes.
It's going to be about Nike and how they were able to get Michael Jordan to wear their shoes after the 1985 NBA draft and 1984
Johnny,
NBA draft.
Johnny. That is a fan. That's a really good idea for a movie. But Ben Affleck has just made that movie. It's already it's in the theater right now. It's out.
Let me point Ben Affleck to, just made it. The fact that in the mid '90s there were two Prefontaine movies. There were two movies about a meteor hitting Earth, Armageddon, and Deep Impact.
Yes. Yes.
There was.
There's two volcanoes.
Dante's Peak and.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah,
Volcano, another one. Whatever it was called. Yes, yeah. The Addams Family and the Munsters premiered in the same week.
That is kind of weird.
Hollywood loves their twosomes.
Yeah.
And so I am going to call it Air Part 2.
Hey fam, there's still a lot more of this episode to hear, but it's only available to our bonus content subscribers. Click the link in the show notes or go to theballerlifestyle.com and subscribe so you never miss a minute of the show.
The week in sports and culture and whatever. Outcomers, conundrums, my brothers. Reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers, TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless, TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers, TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is for all us, TBLS.